Well, I'm hoping that this study on the spiritual gifts is being helpful to you. I know we just started last week, and next week we get to hear Dr. Josh share with us. He'll have a pastoral role next Sunday. Not dubbing you anything, Doc, there, but praying for him and looking forward to at least hearing on audio and video what the Lord blesses us with him. But the 4 weeks for this month of January, we're going through these spiritual gifts. And if you remember last week when we were talking about this, the metaphor that God uses to communicate, there's a bunch of metaphors that he uses for the church. He uses a building, and he uses sheep, and he uses different pictures, the vine and the branches. But the thing that he centers on is the body, the human body. And we can all relate to that. We all have one if we're somewhat aware of what's going on with ours. And it just made me think about if we were acting the way we ought in the area of using our body as wisely as we can and as effectively as we can, there's sometimes certain things that humans can do with their body that are just amazing. And so I looked on YouTube, just amazing things that the human body can do. Just take a look at these as it goes through some of the things that can go on with humans that have practiced some things, that have worked on some things, that have some giftedness. Some of your parents are going, thanks for showing that. So don't try that at home, all right? Or anywhere, all right? But that's just a picture of what, you know, if you ever chance, get, as we're going to be heading into the Olympic season for Winter Olympics, and to see what these athletes can do. I remember as a 14-year-old seeing Bruce Jenner before he made some decisions. Bruce Jenner was an amazing athlete. And for you to win the decathlon, that they believe that the decathlete is the greatest athlete of all athletes because of what they can accomplish. I remember as a kid watching this and just being floored at the different abilities. So he gives us this picture of the body so that we would go, okay, I want ours to function, Grace Bible Church, the church, to function in ways that would honor him with the giftedness that he's given. And he isn't unaware of who is a part of this body. And he doles out gifts to different individuals. And some of you know what your spiritual gift is, and others you still might be working through that. What does that look like for you? I want you to know that in a couple weeks we'll be handing out a survey, a test. It isn't foolproof, but it is something that would give you an awareness if you'd be willing to work through that to go, hey, this is maybe how God's wired me. And that you'd be willing to use your gift for the glory of God, for what he wants to accomplish here in this community and beyond. Because I'll keep beating this drum and I'll keep waving my arms, Christianity is not a spectator sport. And so if in your mind, it's like, but it was all I could do to get here today, all right? Thank you. But I believe he's called you to more. I believe he has this heart, and that you will love it. You won't be like, oh, this is a drudgery. When you're exercising your spiritual gift, there's a joy that comes out of that. And so I just want to encourage you. And the opportunities are limitless. As we saw even here, how the body can be used, the opportunities are limitless in what that looks like. I mean, you think about some of the ministries that are going on, it's like, what? Who, how do you even think of this? But that person, however they're wired, are using that with sometimes their hobby. So some of you have hobbies that you just love that hobby. Like some of you, I don't know this, but just over the years as I've done pastoring, what's happened, I've seen guys, a lot of times I'm sitting talking with the guys, and they can't wait to retire. And it's brutal listening to somebody, they're counting down the times because they hate their job. And their job has become an ends to the means of enjoying their hobby. And my point to you, and I'm trying to get this point across, you're going to go, man, you're waving your arms a lot, but I want you to hear me, and you've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again. If your hobby is amoral, like you aren't doing something sinful, you could actually use that thing for the glory of God. So that when you get into glory, it wasn't, oh, it's nice that you got all those seashells that you collected. Some of you are like, don't get going on my seashell stuff, right? But whatever your thing is, when you think about 100 years from now, will that matter? You're like, well, I'll be dead. Mm-hmm. And what did you do with that for the glory of God? I believe that's why he gives us these things in our lives. Where we're like, and you're like, but how could, ask him, God, how could I use this for you? How could I use this for you? And he's like really smart. All right. And he'll give you some ideas. I guarantee it. So we come to this passage of scripture that we looked at last week, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And it breaks down biblically the segments of gifts. I believe there's two sections of gifts. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he divides it up. Peter divides up the gifts of speaking gifts and serving gifts. And so today we're going to look at the speaking gifts, and a couple weeks from now we're going to look at the serving gifts. So I want to pray and then just get right into this. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. I'm asking, Father, if there's some here that these gifts apply, that you would be their encouragement in however that looks. And then, for those that may be a part of the next time we get together, or sometimes you're so amazing, you can incorporate different giftedness with each of us, that there's like a hybrid of what this looks like, because you're amazingly creative. If I'm putting the body together after two eye colors, I'm done. But you're amazing. The color of our skin, what our hair looks like, all those things, it's you. And so I would think that that's a picture of the body of Christ. So I'm asking you to use this message, and as we continue on, others for your glory and our good, and that would be an encouragement and a challenge maybe, a convicting thing. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember that a spiritual gift, and here's the definition I gave you last week, is an innate spiritual ability and desire to serve others. Okay? An innate spiritual ability that you would have because of the Spirit of God, and a desire. You actually like this. Man, I found out how I'm wired. I found out how God has gifted me, and you enjoy doing it. And every Christian has at least one. And today we'll look at these five speaking gifts. Next time we get together, we'll look at the seven serving gifts. So let's look at this first one. Number one is the gift of prophecy. Okay? Do you find that you cannot remain quiet or sit still when you are hearing a lie or are in the presence of evil? Do you have a clear-cut understanding of what God considers to be right and wrong? If so, you may have been given the gift of prophecy. Now, many times the word prophecy has the idea of foretelling. I mean, we say, if somebody comes along and they'll say something, you go, man, yeah, they're a prophet. They called who would win that game. You know, it doesn't take much to impress us a lot of times. But this gift is more tied to the idea of forthtelling. It's the fact of issuing forth the wisdom of God. Wisdom and the word of God, I mean. The word prophecy, prophetia from the Greek, the verb prophetēo, comes from that concept of prophemai, to speak. It means to speak before. Now you may hear that and go, well, that's foretelling. But he's not talking about before in time. He's talking before an audience. To publicly proclaim. The Old Testament prophets had a job to do. And if you remember that as we work through the different aspects of the scriptures, the Old Testament prophets had a job to do, and they did predict certain aspects of the future. You'll see that with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. And by the way, this is important to remember, they had to be correct 100% of the time or they would be stoned to death. Could you imagine if weathermen had this situation? All right? They had to be dead on 100% of the time. The vast majority of time they spoke, it was what was in the law. They would go back to Deuteronomy. They would go back to Numbers. They would go back to Leviticus. And they would say, God told us, if you did this, Israel, this is what would happen. They were just building on the law. They were calling God's word to God's people so that they would be encouraged to do God's will. The same is true for the Christian exercising the spiritual gift of prophecy. They are sharing the truths based on the word of God to the people of God. Now let's look at this simple concept of prophecy. Prophecy is vital because it ministers to believers. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So you see those three things there for believers. It's for upbuilding. It's for encouragement and consolation. I hope that goes on as we work through this, the Word of God, Sunday after Sunday. But prophecy also ministers to unbelievers. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. So the prophecy that is given, or another better translation sometimes, is the idea of proclaiming. Because we get into our brains, if we keep hearing prophecy, we're thinking of a prophet as in foretelling. And I want you to understand that a prophet does that. But in the dispensation that we're living in, the time we're living in now, when prophetic work is being done, it is bringing us back to the scriptures. And what does the word of God have to say? And by the way, this is a new word, very often new word, because the culture is constantly pushing against it. And so as you and I share truth from the word of God, it is refreshingly new to people. You would think, they would know this. I'm telling you, we don't live in a Christian nation anymore. This is an opportunity for you to actually be new, for you to be fresh, for you to be conveying something that is wow, I haven't heard that before. My heart was kind of saddened when I was at the hospital this past Thursday. And I understand, you know, St. Joseph's West is a Catholic hospital. But there's a lot of good biblical things that go on there. I'm just telling you that that's what goes on. But it was saddened to me that every hour on the hour, they'll have somebody come, hey, just want you to know. A chime will go off. And it's not the, you know, Brahms lullaby like a baby's been born. That's cool when that happens. But this is just a, I want to encourage you thing. And I would think, boy, this would be a great time to get the word out. And what I hear over the thing, and they mean well. They said, hey, I just want to tell you today something that really encouraged me is the words of Christopher Robin to Winnie the Pooh. And she said something that I thought, oh, that's good. But it's not eternal, all right? It's only going to do us, but to give the word of God. And you and I have that opportunity. How do I do it? I just want to encourage you. Get in it. I've said this to you before as the year starts. Sometimes just, this year I want to read the Bible. And we're busy. I understand we're all busy. I tell you, what's worked for me a lot of times just to get my day started is to have that app on my phone, Daily Audio Bible, and I just hit that, and I'm able to hear the Word of God each and every day on my drive. And so I'm saying that to you as you be going, yeah, you get paid to do this. You know, you're right. But we all get busy. We all got things that we get distracted by. So would you be willing to even, and then you would be amazed at what he brings to mind through the day because of just starting out that way. I want to obviously push you on to more than that. But that would give you an opportunity to prophesy, for you to share the truth, to proclaim the truth to people, eternal truth to people. So people that are unbelievers, that here's, they're convicted. They turn to the Lord. Look at this. I like this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. So this is that lineup in 1 Thessalonians where he's giving us a bunch of stuff. And if we're not careful, we just look at it as kind of like bullet points and we stop and we talk it through. Understand this is a whole thing put together. In the Greek, they didn't even have punctuation. They didn't stop. They just kept reading as they went through this. I'd kind of like you to look at that bunch of this where he's giving us this truth in a dump trucking it to us. Okay, so encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If you're not careful, and that's why he has to warn us that our temptation will be, I've heard enough. Just give me Christopher Robin. Just give me Netflix. Just give me this. And he's saying, you're going to get busy. I understand you're going to get busy. And all those things aren't necessarily bad. But I want you to become a person that looks forward to hearing what the Lord says about things. Don't despise prophecies. And also notice this. Romans 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes the word faith is used in different realms. In this context, he's talking about a faith that is tied to truth. It's not just this subjective thing out there. It is tied to truth. It's like this word here in Jude, verse 3. Jude only has one chapter. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith, that's the truth, that's the scriptures, that was once for all delivered to the saints. So faith isn't this subjective thing out there. It's an objective thing that you and I hold on to. And then our prophecies are based on this. It's in proportion of this truth. We don't go outside of the boundaries of that. I don't prophesy on The Catcher in the Rye or Huckleberry Finn. I'm constantly bound by the scriptures. I'm bound by what it teaches. It's solid, by the way. And regardless of whether the prophet engages in foretelling or foretelling, genuine prophets of God must speak the truth. They cannot remain quiet in the face of a lie. Have you ever been like that? You ever been sitting there and it's just like killing you? They can't stand any form of deceit or in the face of an error against God's word. Prophets are often those who see things in terms of black and white or right and wrong, and they are motivated to set things right and get the church back on the right track. They speak boldly in the presence of injustice. You may have the gift of prophecy. Let me ask you, could you see some problems with being a prophet? I want you to be aware of that. There can be a prophet who's misguided, very judgmental. By the way, sometimes if you have that prophet tendency, I can lean into that sometimes. I have to be really careful because I can start seeing stuff and not realizing, oh, you got this. Sometimes they get withdrawn, though, because the church is full of sinners. And that bothers them. They can become very inflexible with people. They can become very critical of people. A misguided prophet is one of the people you don't even like to see at your doorstep, or that you get a text from them saying, hey, could we get together and talk? Oh, no. That's why if you ever notice, those of you that get texts from me regularly, at the end of it, I usually write nothing bad. Some of you are like, next text I send you and you get nothing, you don't get nothing bad. You're going, something bad's coming. All right. If you have that gift, I ask you to ask the Lord to help you to not become all those things. It would be very tempting to do just that. Well, that's the first gift, prophecy. Second one, second speaking, the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. Are you concerned with accuracy when the Word of God is taught? Do you desire to see the truth passed on to the next generation of those who are lacking in wisdom? Do you wish to see the lives of others changed as a result of information being given to them? And if so, you may have the gift of teaching. Romans 12, verse 7. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. This gift, it's the ability in the Holy Spirit to pass on truth to somebody else. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But some people think they're teaching and they're not. Have you ever been in classes like that? It's hard. Like you look at the clock, it's kind of that Ferris Bueller thing where the clock is going backwards. Prophecy is proclaiming Christ to an audience. Teaching is passing on truth to somebody else so that they can receive it and implement it. It's a communicative ability. And it can be done in a lot of different formats. That's why I was saying to you about using your hobby, using your talent sometimes, using something that you really thoroughly enjoy. You can, in the midst of that, use the gift of teaching if you have that. It's a one-on-one thing sometimes. And it's a vitally important gift. And why do you think that? Because we're to teach and to teach and to teach. You ever feel like that with your children? I thought I talked about this. Or people that you thought you were communicating to? I thought we went to, this word didaskalos, didasko, there's a bunch of forms of it in the Greek. A lot of forms. And the root meaning is this, and it's interesting. It is a systematic teaching, a systematic training. It's getting those things across that need to get across. And this is a gift of God that is given. And you will find sometimes that people that are teachers in the world don't necessarily have the spiritual gift of teaching. Now, I know that might be confusing. You'd be like, but of course. And sometimes we're in danger in the world, in the church, that we think, well, this person would be good at this, so I'll plug them into this, thinking, well, it's just natural. And they would be in the flesh. They would be, and it's not necessarily anything sinful going on, but that may not be their thing. And God may not want to use them in the church that way. And sometimes, to be honest with you, some of the teachers that get asked, they throughout the week, they're done. And they like to come into the church and do something different. But they should be using their gifts. However, and that's true in any aspect, you think, boy, wouldn't that cross over? It might, but it might not. What's the curriculum for a teacher? The Bible. It can be used one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three, one-on-5,000. It can be used with women one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three, one-on-5,000. It can be used with a lady with a group of children, men with a group of children. Do you see the possibilities are endless? It can be used with a husband and wife with one another. The giftedness and the willingness to receive. Men, are you willing to receive wisdom that God has conveyed to your wife and vice versa? It's a beautiful thing to watch, to humble yourself, to say, I'm willing to hear from you. Because those who operate under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and who recognize they are gifted as teachers will not find teaching to be a burden. Rather, these behaviors will be the natural way that they respond to any opportunity to teach. You ever been around these guys? I've had mechanic friends that just get so excited. They work on the car. This guy, I remember Mr. Gifford. And he'd get done working on the car, and we'd be talking, as pay the bill and working out. And then he'd go, hey, can I share something that the Lord's been teaching me? He couldn't help it, and I would just eat it up. He'd have greasy fingers all over it because he was, working on stuff, and then go back and writes it down and stuff. And I could receive what this man taught me because he was somebody that I believe had the gift of teaching. Never preached one sermon that I know of, but boy, did I get a bunch of good stuff from him, all right? And I'm giving him credit now, all right? What a blessing that man was. Had a Sunday school class. I've heard these stories over the years. Yeah, I got this group of fifth graders. Boy, do they try me. But you'd go back to some of the churches and those guys were faithful to that group of fifth graders. And they remember that guy. They remember that lady that spent that time with them. I thank God for those people in my life. Children's church, Awana workers. God bless them. Some of you are like, I'm exhausted thinking about it. What a blessing. And in eternity, as you think about the blessings, because those people, Mr. Gabriel spending the time with me, Ginny Wilson, Children's Church. And then when I got old enough, hey, you're going to work in Children's Church. I didn't know I volunteered. You're going to be working in Children's Church. All right. And that prepared me in ways. Think there's any problems that a teacher would have? You know, omniscient beings are never impressed at what you know. You know that? All-knowing beings are never impressed at what you know. They're impressed at who you resemble. Teaching is a way to do that. Teachers, if you're not careful, can become arrogant, though. You got your teaching figured out. And somebody comes along and they come up with a passage and it's a completely different way. And they're doing everything properly when they're putting that together. But it's not your way. So they're wrong. Do you see how that could be a problem? And God says to you and me, let's be open and willing to hear what others have to say. Well, let's keep going. Oh, by the way, prophets love pulpits, teachers love classrooms. Exhorters, this next gift, the gift of exhortation. They like coffee shops, they like McDonald's. All right. Are you concerned about correcting error wherever and whenever you find it? Do you care deeply about helping people avoid mistakes and helping those who have made mistakes to repent of their ways? If so, you may have the gift of exhortation. Romans 12, verse 8. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, and then it lists some other gifts there. So it's talking about this willingness to give. And if you're going to exhort somebody, what do we use? We use the word of God again. What is the word exhortation? It's parakleon, paraclete. Maybe you've heard that word before. That's the comforter. It's the word that the person that comes alongside. It's the willingness to use the word as a means to comfort or help or advise or strengthen. The gift of strengthening. And so God has given some people in the body. Their job isn't necessarily to proclaim. It's not to dig out the facts like a teacher would. It's not to figure out the principles. It's actually not even systematically to teach. But their heart's desire is to strengthen people. And you may be sitting here, and that's the calling of God on your life. And you use the word of God. It isn't just you're trying to flatter, you're trying to be a good old boy. Boy, they're so nice. I would want to encourage you, are you using the word of God to exhort people, to strengthen people? Because that's eternal. There's eternal stuff that goes on there. Some of you might go, oh, I know what that is. That's the gift of counseling. Counseling's not a gift. Counseling is a method, maybe a process. But counselors can be prophetic. A counselor could be a teacher. A counselor could be an exhorter. But let me ask you, would you be willing to use that gift for the glory of God if God has given you the gift of exhortation for his glory and other people's good? See, each of us needs to have, and I'm telling you, this is so important, please hear me. Each of us needs to have at least one person who functions as an exhorter in our lives. It's a person who periodically asks, what's God doing in your life? Some of you are like, I don't want to hear that from people. It's a good question. What are you doing to develop your relationship with the Lord? How's the Lord working in your life to make you more like Jesus Christ? Some of you may not even like those questions, but those are good questions to ask. And what's the beauty of it is an exhorter earns the right to ask it. I've had so many people like this that have come into my life. And by the way, the only times I don't like it is when I'm not doing what I ought. And isn't that a sign? Such a person will exemplify the traits of wisdom and discernment and faith and discretion and love and enthusiasm. And if you allow a person with those qualities to help you as he or she receives guidance from the Holy Spirit, you're going to be greatly blessed. So let me ask you this. Are you an exhorter? And would you be willing to use that for the glory of God? Are there any problems with being an exhorter? Here's what happens when you're an exhorter. When people don't grow, it's killing you. You know what else happens to exhorters? Exhorters get close to people. You know what happens when you get close to people? Do you guys know what happens when you get close to people? You get wounded. Exhorters have scar tissue right here. Because people are going to hurt you. And some of you are like, I refuse to do it because I've been hurt. I want to encourage you, please don't allow that to happen. Some of you are going to do church, and until somebody hurts you, then you're out here. And I'm saying to you, then you haven't really experienced church. Because that happens. And it's worth it. If I ask the question, how many of you have ever been burned? Don't raise your hand. But if you've done church a while, your hand would go up. And I'm saying to you, what are you going to do about that? Because God may have given you the gift of exhortation, the gift of coming alongside somebody. I'll get hurt. That's right, you'll get hurt. But that's okay. I hate it, but it's okay. Because people are worth it. And it's the calling of God in our lives. Couple more, quickly. Point number four, the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And this has both of the next two points, so if you want to put them down. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the Spirit. So we're doing the second one first, and then we'll do the first one second. The gift of the word of knowledge. Now here's a definition of this gift. This is a gift that's actually been used at times in a wrong way, as I see it. The Spirit-given ability to observe biblical facts and make conclusions. The Spirit-given ability to observe biblical facts and make conclusions. I was at if you remember, those of you that have done Christian music for a long time, there was all these different groups. You ever hear of the group Second Chapter of Acts? Matthew Ward, back in the day. And by the way, Matthew Ward can flat out sing. If you've never heard Matthew Ward, don't YouTube it now, all right? But he can flat out sing. But something that he did that I was like, afterwards, I was like, that was interesting. He said, right in the middle of the concert, he stopped and he goes, word of knowledge. Somebody here, now remember, we're in a school gym sitting on bleachers. He goes, somebody here, I feel somebody here is having back pain. Is anybody here having back pain? A lot of hands went up. That was word of knowledge, he said. I know something. He believed that God, and I want to be careful. Remember what we did last week? I was doing a lot of backstepping as I was talking about this stuff. But I want to be careful because God can do anything, all right? You do know that. But I keep coming back to the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? And this word of knowledge is tied to the word of God. It isn't just this subjective thing that is out there. There's a lot of back pain in the room that day, all right? I'm glad he prayed for us, too. It was good, all right? But these people that have this gift, they write books, and we read them, and we're blessed by them. But there's other ways that this is manifested. It can belong to people in our family who've never been to college, never been to seminary, but they have the ability to study the Bible and draw up facts and make conclusions by observing. It's a tremendous gift. I think sometimes God blesses me with it, but a lot of times I'm reading people that have it. I'm blessed with people around me that are in this room right now that I believe have this gift. That they can look at the Word of God and they can draw things out in a way that, I could look at that 20 times and I didn't see that. It's a gift of God that he gets the glory for. It's having an understanding and gaining knowledge. Can you see a problem with this gift? You ever meet people that they're just so smart and they gain so much stuff, but after a while you're going, what good is this? And without the Lord tied to it, it can become, well, it'd be good in Bible Jeopardy, I guess. But when it all comes down, are they willing to use that knowledge in ways that God would want them to use it? Last one, the gift of the word of wisdom. This word wisdom is the word Sophia. It's used so many times in the Word of God, Sophia, in so many different ways. It differs from the gift of knowledge, and the emphasis is on the skill of application. So it's not just knowing things, it's how does this play out? And some of you are so gifted in this area, and you don't even know. You've just been able to do it. You can look at the scriptures, and you can draw these things out of it. Like, this is amazing. It's because God has given you that gift, and you're using it in your home with your family, I pray. You may have never even knew. This is something that he gives, and it's for his glory. This could belong to a Christian counselor who sees a problem, and by that knowledge of the Word of God, they can draw principles in this gift of wisdom. It's the gift of the expositor sometimes, and I'm a person that's blessed enough to be able to read these things and study them and then convey them to you. Most of my stuff isn't my stuff. Some of you are like, I know. And it's good because thank you, Lord, for these people that have gone on before us and that we get to rub shoulders with. And what I find that's interesting, and I would see this over the years with different individuals, I've seen it that they will go to people, hopefully people that have these gifts instead of just, that person makes me feel good when they're with them, but that they would draw from that. I hesitate to mention name names because they would not want me to honor them more than the Lord. But no, if you've been given this gift, it's for you to be a blessing to those that are around you. And these gifts, when being used in the church, are a beautiful thing to watch. So that when you and I watch that and it's truly coming together, it's like that video where you're seeing things go on and you're like, wow, that ball is flying at that one lady's head, that reporter, and he just reaches out and grabs and protects. I wonder if, spiritually speaking, how many times that's gone on where something that's untrue has been said to somebody. You come to church, you start sharing some things with a brother or sister in Christ, and they go, oh, no, 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 no. And that thing was about to hit them in the head, that lie. And you're saying, let me tell you the truth about what God can do. And I could do that with every one of those pictures up there. Because God wants the body to flow. He wants it to be used how he sees fit. And so the world doesn't get it. But if we are obedient to him and desire to walk with him, how exciting it could be. So maybe today you need to resolve in your heart, God, I want to quit wasting time. I don't want to just live to die. I want to be used of you while I'm here. Because prophecy proclaims the truth, teaching imparts it, exhortation demands it be obeyed, knowledge clarifies it, and wisdom applies it. Would you be willing to let the Lord use you in a mighty way for his glory and you're good? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together. Ask you, Lord, to help us how you've wired us, how you've gifted us. And that, Lord, as we go farther along, that, Lord, we'd see how you want to use grace in this neighborhood, in this town, in this state, in this country. This is your work, God, and we're asking you to use it. And thank you for the word that keeps us in line, that gives us proper parameters. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you